Hey, Devin said the coolest thing today. Devin was baptized just a second ago, and Brad told me that Devin said, hey, this is pretty neat. I'm young, and they're old. And we all got Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Let's give him a hand. That was a really great statement. You know, this morning we're in John chapter 6. We're tracking through the Gospel of John, and I'll be honest with you, this is a message for me. I don't know if you get anything from it, but this is what I need today. I'm thankful for God's word. It's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And God uses his word to show us how to live and what to do, how to think. And this morning, I just am caught by this miracle that Jesus performed. You know, Jesus was so amazingly interesting. He always noticed the crowds. He was moved by the crowds. And I'll tell you, I felt that. I felt the pressure of the crowds. The disciples here, I can totally relate to their struggle. They were moved by the crowds. The crowds were overwhelming. And they were like, what do we do? And I look at our community, our church, I'm like, oh my goodness, there's neighborhoods popping up everywhere. We had the biggest Easter we've ever had. And like, oh my goodness, God is sending, has put us in the midst of the crowds. We're to notice the crowds. You know what, I pray we follow this example, notice the crowds. You know, the disciples here, I can relate to them because they were becoming convinced that Jesus was God. And I pray that we're convinced. And I not only pray we're convinced, I pray we're convincing. I'll be honest with you, we live in a world that needs to be convinced that Jesus is who he says he is. And God's called us to this, to be this ambassador for him, to serve him. And here, right here, you see the disciples getting to experience the incredible miracle and joy of serving the Lord. And you know what? I think that's in front of us. That's a prayer for us. I pray we notice the crowds. I pray that we are convinced about Jesus, and then we become convincing. It's amazing to look at what we saw today. What you saw was the fruit of Passion Week. It was right here that Ruth is sitting next to her friend that followed through with the ask, hey, are you ready to follow Jesus? You know what? Sometimes I think in our journey, we skip that step. We overlook that step of saying to our friends, hey, it's time to follow Jesus. And in the Passion Week, you saw Ruth go, I'm ready to follow Jesus. We get to see that lived out in front of us today. Convinced and convincing, and that ambassador responsibility that we have. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. You know, we're going to see a miracle today, and this is a miracle that we're in John chapter 6. You know, when we were in Israel, we were at this spot, and our guide wasn't a believer, and he stood next to me, and he was just he and I by ourselves, and he said, well, you know, he explained this miracle naturally. He's like, yeah, you know, it really probably happened this way. And I was listening to him. I was trying to be nice. And I put my arm on his shoulder and I said, hey, bro, what happened right here was a miracle. God moved. What's a miracle? A miracle is a work produced by divine power for a divine purpose by a means beyond the reach of human explanation. And in John chapter 6, you see some things that are just obvious. You see that Jesus is Lord over nature, that Jesus is just Lord. He still is Lord. You see, providence is a clear doctrine. Providence is the fact that God has a plan. Even though things seem impossible, God has a plan. You see that Jesus cares about the needs of people. And he calls his church, his disciples, into this supernatural journey of watching him work. That's what you see in this passage. Let's stand together and let's look at this miracle. John chapter 6, we're going to look at 1 through 15, and we'll read it and then we'll just sit in it for a while and just let the Lord speak to us. After this, Verse 1, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So all the fish, as much as they wanted. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled the 12 baskets with fragments from the barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. Now let's understand some context here. And the first thing that I think it's important for us to notice in this passage is that tough times often involve the greatest movements of God. I want you to recognize this. Tough times often involve the greatest movements of God. And we've learned to understand that. The context, when you look at chapter 6, verse 1, it says this, after this, they went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. What is this? After what? After this. Now, this is the only miracle recorded in every gospel. This was a huge moment, a big moment. And you might think, okay, tough times often are involve the greatest movements of God. What am I talking about? Well, you see, Matthew records this in Matthew 14. Mark chapter 6 records this miracle. Luke chapter 9 records this miracle. And now you have it in John chapter 6. This is the only miracle outside of the resurrection. You can call that a miracle. That was a pretty big deal. But you know, this is the only miracle recorded in every gospel. Now, I think it's noteworthy that you recognize what Mark said. Mark says this, the apostles returned to Jesus, Mark chapter 6, verse 30, the apostles returned to Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. Where did they return from? They returned from John the Baptist's beheading. So let's understand the context. Right after this, Jesus had just learned about John the Baptist died. We know about John the Baptist. That was Jesus' cousin. So Jesus had a family member die in a horrible way. Yeah, he died in a horrible way. That was his cousin. Remember, John the Baptist was the one that leapt in the womb when Mary was pregnant with Jesus as she went to see Elizabeth. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah. He was the one that went before Jesus. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. And John was in prison. Remember, he sent his disciples to Jesus saying, "Hey, are you the Messiah?" Jesus said, "Hey, look, you've seen and heard. Just tell them what you've seen and heard." Well, Jesus gets a report that John the Baptist had died. Jesus was sad. He was wrestling, I think, with this. Why, how could God be sad? He knew all things. But let's feel this moment for a little bit. The disciples were grieved. And the disciples, we understand from just the context of the story, they were tired from ministry. You know, Jesus, though he had a family member die, he kept a heavenly perspective. We see in John, Mark chapter 6, it says, "And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going. They had no leisure even to eat. And they went away into a boat to a desolate place by themselves." The disciples were in retreat. They were sad. They needed some time. Ministry was relentless right here. And they were trying to get away, but and I think it's noteworthy to recognize that Jesus got tired from ministry. We should learn to rest well. Jesus was going to rest, but he didn't have any rest. He couldn't rest here. He was struggling with rest because the crowd kept following him. And so let's understand something, that the disciples were in a tough spot. But just like we see over and over again in Scripture, that Jesus gave us this incredible picture of strength out of weakness. This is what Jesus is doing. He's modeling this strength from weakness. And I'll tell you, when you're in a tough time, you should expect God to move. Because God will move. And we see this all through the Scripture. We see it even in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 11, that says this. Paul writes this, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." And then this famous statement in Scripture, "For when I am weak, then I'm strong." And I think it's important to understand that as this miracle unfolds, we know that the disciples were on a retreat, the crowds kept following them, and though John 6, 1 says a period of time progresses, we don't know how much time. I think it was a short time. I think they were trying to get away, and they couldn't. The crowd kept following them, and they were weak. They were weary. They were struggling with the loss of their friend. John the Baptist had been beheaded by Herod in a terrible way. That says so many things to us, that you can be, I mean, here's John the Baptist in the middle of the will of God, and he died. Let's not forget that this world's not our home, that God's working out a plan even in the hard times. God's faithful even when it's hard. And God's at work powerfully even in the tough times. Let's never forget that. That when times are tough, that's when God often moves in the greatest ways. There's another thing you see in this passage, and it's something we just need to grab today. And I think it's obvious, and this miracle is so famous that, and I think the lesson that we need to capture today is that your resources in the hand of God are the right amount. That what God has given you, that's the right amount. Let's look at this story. And after this, verse 1, "Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick." You know, they were recognizing, we're sick. We need help. And Jesus was helping. Jesus went up on the mountain. There he sat down with the disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. So they spent all day ministering, teaching, healing, working. That's where the disciples were, all day. They're working. They were tired, but they had work to do. They were wanting to go rest, but they couldn't. The crowds were there. They noticed the crowds. How important that is for us to respond to the crowd. As a church, we're to notice the crowds around us. We're to notice where God has planted us. God has put us in a very unique spot in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where we are in a growing community. We have a growing church. And I'll tell you, we got to notice the crowds. We better notice the crowds. It's my prayer that we are a church that is convinced about Christ. That's where the disciples were. They were working. They were convinced that he was the Messiah. They knew that Jesus could help them. They were convincing. And I pray that's us. But yet in the midst of their work, in the midst of their effort, in the midst of this incredible work in front of them as Jesus is ministering, they're still struggling with living in their own power. I'll be honest with you, that's sometimes where I get. As I feel the burden of the crowd around me, as I feel the work of our church that's in front of us, as I think about the need to build a church in a growing community, what I don't want to do is make the mistake the disciples made by looking at my own power. And so I just sit with you today, not talking at you, sitting with you, saying we must be a church that learns these lessons from the disciples, learns from these mistakes of this little 12-year-old boy. Let's look at it. After this large crowd was following him. But I want you to notice this important right amount lesson that look, you just present all you have to the Lord. That's a lesson you see here. This little boy, he comes and he says, this is what I've got. Look at the narrative, verse 5, lifting up his eyes and seeing the large crowd was coming toward him. Jesus said to Philip, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? They're out in the country. You ever been out in the country looking for a snack? Looking for something to eat? They're out in the country. They're in the boonies, right? They'd followed them miles out of the city, and he's like, hey, Philip, where are we going to get bread for everybody? And Philip's like, I don't know. And he says, but look at verse 6. He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. That's like 8 months' worth of salary. That's a lot of money. He's like, that's not even going to provide for them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. I love Andrew. Oh, Andrew. May we be Andrew. Every time you see Andrew in the scripture, we don't really, the biblical camera doesn't stay on Andrew very much, but every time the biblical camera is on Andrew, you know what he's doing? He's bringing somebody to Jesus. That's Andrew. And he's like, hey, I got this kid that was like, hey, let's go see Jesus. Hey, son, you want to meet Jesus? Come on, you got to meet Jesus. Andrew does that. There's a boy here, 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But notice what he says. But what are they for so many? I often fall into that. Lord, look at what that's all I got. I can't do it. I look at what God is going to do through my eyes rather than his eyes. How often I fall into this trap. I don't want to fall into this trap. I don't want to lead you into that trap. I want us to look at the world through what Jesus can do. Jesus could have easily turned 5,000 stones into bread. You know, you know what he's doing here? I can see, because it says in verse 6, Jesus knew what he was going to do. You know what he's about to do? He's about to invite the disciples into this incredible work of God to help them realize, wow, serving Jesus is transformational. You know what I pray that we experience as a church is the power of serving Jesus. The joy of serving Jesus. The miracle of just saying, God, this is all we got. We'll trust, but that's enough. What we have is enough. You know, I think about what God takes, he blesses, and what he blesses, he uses. Reminds me of that verse I've memorized in 1 Peter 3. 8 and 9. Finally, all of you, it says, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, be humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. See, God calls us to salvation, and he blesses us, and he leads us. And when we, as a follower of Jesus, say, God, we give you what we have, oh my goodness, God takes it in supernatural ways. And I think about, I've been wrestling with this idea. I look at what we have, what God has given to us. And sometimes I think, oh man, Lord, we're so limited with what we have. But you see, God has not called us to the manufacturing, but he's called us to the distribution. And God's going to work in us and use us. And I'll tell you, I pray that we learn to present all we have to the Lord. Learn to present all you've got in your checkbook to the Lord. All you've got in your family to the Lord. All your gifts and your abilities to the Lord. Oh my goodness. Don't miss that. Second thing I think it's important to notice as we recognize what God's doing here is that we should position ourselves for God to bless us. Are you positioning yourself for God to bless you? Look at verse 10. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Now we know that, no offense, ladies, but this is just the way it was in this time in history. They were the women were there, but they counted the number of men. There were likely over 20,000 people there that day. Jesus ordered them to sit in the grass, and what was he doing? He was positioning them to bless them. Mark gives more detail about he grouped them in 50s and 100s. And this was important. Jesus organized this, and he sat them down. And I've just thought about what is the position we need to be in for God to bless us? And I'm not talking about necessarily our financial blessing. But let's understand what does it look like to be in a place where God will bless. It begins with the spiritual transformation, faith in Christ. Do you know Jesus? We got to see an example of salvation of people that said, I mean, did you hear Devin's response? Oh, may we just take that passion from that little boy. Is Jesus your Lord? Yes, he is. I mean, how awesome would that be the next time he says, are you a Christian? You believe the Bible? Yes. Yes, I am. Oh my goodness, let me tell you, you can too. You can too. Like that beautiful statement that we could go just go home without. They all got Jesus. And you know, when you have faith in Christ, what happens when you have faith in Christ? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 gives us a little glimpse. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance. And this is what happens when you come to know Christ. Oh my goodness, that's a blessing to be forgiven of your sins. It gives you hope in this life, but oh my goodness, incredible promises for the next. And let me tell you something, because the resurrection of Christ is true, there will be a next life. Death's not the end, it's the door to eternal life. Position yourself for a blessing by coming to faith in Christ. You can be forgiven, you could have Jesus. You also position yourself for a blessing by obedience to the Lord. We know this. To be a church, to be an individual, a church that obeys the Lord, follows the Lord, seeks the Lord, surrenders to the Lord. What did everybody do? They got in positions. They followed the example, the command of Christ. And we understand what the Bible speaks about this, that faith is marked by obedience to God. And that's why it doesn't make sense for me to see people say, oh, I follow Jesus, but they're not going to be obedient to the Lord. I'm grieved today. I got a text message yesterday about a church that I know people to go to. And I'm watching them compromise the word of God. And they're not being obedient. And you know what, God, like I'm not the pastor there. But I'll tell you what, I pray that we are a church that's obedient to God. We're called to be obedient to Him. And we're called to let His word shape our thinking. And look, Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all His commands I give you today, the Lord will set you high above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come to you and accompany you. If you obey the Lord your God, you will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. And I don't want us to forget that the blessing of God comes because of obedience. Now, I'm not saying you earn your way to heaven. No, this is after you have faith in Christ. We're called to obey the Lord. And I think this is a word for some of us today. Obey the Lord. Follow the Lord. Obey His voice. You know, faith is not something we feel. Faith is a decision we make. Peter walked on water, got out of the boat. Noah built an ark. These are people of faith. Abraham left Ur to go to Canaan. He left his home. That woman, she touched Jesus' garment to be healed. This boy, you know what this boy does, this 12-year-old boy? Hey, Jesus, I mean, this boy, he at least was smart enough to bring his own lunch, right? He's like, I don't know, all you people are hungry. I'm going to eat my fish and bread. Can you imagine that conversation with Andrew? Hey, would you give your lunch to Jesus to feed all these people? I don't know what he thought about that. I bet he thought like Devin said, the old people, all right. He gave it to Jesus. There's a lesson to learn from the children. You know what it says? Have faith like a child. Let's learn from this. He gave all he had to Jesus. And you know what that did for him? It positioned himself for God to bless him. And oh my goodness, look what happened. You see this really important example by Jesus. You see this lesson about seek the Lord by learning to pray. Look what Jesus did in verse 11. And I want you to know how important it is to learn to pray. For us to learn to pray, to be a church that prays. We're having a worship night on May 28th. What are we going to do? We're going to sing, but we're going to pray. Look, we better pray as a church. We better learn to pray. Jesus sets that example. Then he took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. What is Jesus? I mean, Jesus was God. He's God in the flesh. But what's he doing for us? He's modeling not just thank you, Lord, for my food. Not a bad idea, though there's some food I'm not sure God will bless. But he's like, Lord, we need you. These disciples need to seek you. We seek your blessing. We seek your will. And this is important, to seek the perspective of God. Seeking God moves us to the heart of God. Asking for God to take what we have and do supernaturally more than we could ever do by ourselves is important for us. When's the last time you said, Lord, here's my checkbook, I give it to you. Here's my family, I give it to you. Here's my job, I give it to you. I really seek you in this. But then he took them. He broke them. I think that there's something significant there. Verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. He broke them. Some of your translations say he broke them. You know what? If we're gonna follow the Lord, I think we should prepare to be broken. I think we miss the value of brokenness. We miss the value of dependence on the Lord. And sometimes in our modern day, we go, Jesus is the victory, he's big, and he is. But I'll tell you, in moments when it's tough, God moves supernaturally. When you discover, God, I need you today. God, I can't make it without you today. Do you realize that's the strongest you'll ever be? When you are totally dependent on the Lord. So when you're weak, you're strong. He took it and broke it and he distributed it. Let's feel this for a second. Let's feel the miracle for a second. Jesus got 5 loaves and 2 fish. God, thank you for this provision. He broke them and distributed. Now think about that little boy standing there, that 12-year-old boy standing there watching this unfold. Think of the disciples. What is this among so many, Jesus? Oh, we don't have enough money. They're watching him break it, distribute it. Hey, 50s, 100s, all the way around. Hey, go take this there. All right. And then they come back and they got more. And Jesus keeps distributing. It keeps distributing. Can you imagine them going, what in the world? Can you imagine that 12-year-old boy going, wow, wait a minute. It keeps growing. It doesn't run out. Oh, my goodness. They keep coming back, and they keep going, well, I got 100 over here. I got 50 over here. And they keep coming back, and they keep distributing. Imagine this. No wonder every gospel writer goes, as they get that call of God, hey, write down the story. This wasn't a newsreel. It wasn't happening in real time. John writes this much later as he's older. Luke wasn't even there. Luke was a doctor interviewing people. You know, Matthew writes later. Mark writes probably first, but later. And every one of them. Oh, dude, we got to talk about that moment. Oh my goodness, it kept coming. It kept coming. And you know, look at what it says. And it says, and when they had eaten their fill, notice that, he told the disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled, interestingly, 12 baskets with fragments from 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. Hey, go gather it up. Every disciple got a basket. Go to your groups and get what's left. And they come back and they're like, you got a basket too? I got a basket full. You got a basket full? They all knew how they started. 5 loaves, 2 fish. Are you kidding me? Oh my goodness. Folks, let me tell you something. When you give God all you have, whether it's your business, whether it's your family, whether it's your resources, because I'll be honest with you, all of that, as a church collectively, all that we give to the Lord, let me tell you something. God takes it and works supernaturally. The key is give in to the Lord all you have. Seeking the Lord. And I'll tell you what, when you follow the Lord, get ready to watch God move supernaturally. You realize that's a call for us? You realize God is moving in us? I found out today that there's a church in our area that's closing down. Man, that breaks my heart. Because I know the history of this church. Broke my heart today. I'm going to investigate that today. But you know what? Look, in a day when we're in a spiritual battle, I tell you what, we got to be obedient to the Lord, not compromise what Jesus says. Breaks my heart. I got a text from this pastor that a church close to us that is compromising. I can't do anything about that church. But I'll tell you what, for this one, We got to do something about that by being faithful to what the Bible says. And no matter what comes our way, we stand on what the Bible says. Let me tell you something. If you're visiting today, we are a church that unapologetically stands on the Word of God and allows the Word of God to shape the way we think. Because it's obvious, the world doesn't think right. Sometimes I don't think right. And what God's Word does, it's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. When I don't think right, God's Word helps me think. In the midst of the tough times that we face right now, we got a lot of people sick in our church. And I get it. There's people like, man, we're sick. There's some people sick. A guy we prayed for, right before I walked in the door, I got the word that Mark passed away. Mark died this morning at 8:50. Lots of his family sitting right over here. But you know what? I talked to his wife just a little bit ago, and let's talk about what Jesus has done. Let me tell you something. God's Word gives promises. I mean, the disciples were in this spot. They were sad. John the Baptist had died. I can relate to this passage in so many ways today. But then in the midst of the tough times, they trust the Lord. This heavenly perspective, this faithfulness of God is at work. And I'll tell you, look at verse 12. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who has come into the world. Let me tell you something, that's who Jesus is. The prophet who came into the world, the only one that can save, the only one that gives you hope in this life, and definitely the only one that can give you hope in the next. It's only Jesus who conquered the grave. It's only him that calls us to repentance. Every other religion in the world, what do? They say, earn your way to heaven, work harder. And what's different with Jesus? Jesus entered the world and did the work for you. He went to the cross for you. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for you so that you could become the righteousness of God. God demonstrates his love for you in this, that even though you were a sinner, Christ died for you. And so let's recognize the power of Christ. And I'll tell you, this is a message our community must understand. This is why we must be a church that makes room for people. I look around this room, and I'll tell you, we got to make room for people. My wife and I went on a walk yesterday around our neighborhood and go, oh my goodness, we're seeing apartments go up, neighborhoods go up. They're about to build that turnpike from Claremore to Owosso. It's about to be done. You're seeing explosive growth all the way around us. And I'll tell you what, we got to be a church that's faithful when and where God has called us to be. I'll tell you what, we're going to do that. We're going to trust the Lord. And I want you to know God's given us the right amount. But I pray we're a church that says, Lord, we give you all we have. We will trust you. We won't compromise on your word. When you tell us to do something, we're going to do it. And that's what the disciples did. Jesus said, hey, get them in groups. All right. What is that for? I don't know how he's going to do it, but let's do it. Let's do what he says. And oh my goodness, God invited them into this work of God, into this supernatural work. And you know what? That's what God wants to do in us. God's inviting us. I'm going to knock my table over here. God's inviting us to serve him right now at a time when it's crazy to serve the Lord right now. I mean, you talk about potential persecution on the horizon. And I'm seeing believers go, bring it. All right. I think that's exactly where we're going to be. I hope you listen to the podcast I had with Andy Coleman. You ought to listen to our podcast. I'm busting my tail on that. You ought to listen to that. But Andy talked about persecution that's on the horizon. Hey, we're going to step up to that. Challenges on the horizon. Let's be a people who live by faith, not by sight. That's our calling. The resources in our hands, you know, it's the right amount. It's the right amount. Let's not hold on to what God's given us. Let's say, God, we trust you. Trust you with my kids. I trust you with my grandkids. I trust you with my job. I trust you with my business. There's a guy today. Brian, I'm going to owe you $5. He came to me. He's running a camera today, trying to keep up with me as I travel here on this stage. You know what he said to me? He said, hey, I'm starting a business. And I want you to hold me accountable to give this to the Lord. You know what? I can't wait to watch what the Lord does through this business. I'll tell you what. Let's learn to be a people that say, God, we give you all we have. And you'll watch the Lord work in supernatural ways. There's a reason this miracle is in every gospel. There's a reason the disciples said, we got to talk about this. I keep thinking, I don't want to be in the way of a blessing. I don't want to be in the way of a blessing. I want to be on the way to a blessing. And that's found in obedience to the Lord, a relationship with the Lord, obedience to the Lord. Now, we're going to have an invitation, and I've preached too long today. Not really. I don't care how long I preach. I really don't care. But it's time to have an invitation. It's time to respond. And my prayer is that everything in your life today, you say, God, I give it to you. I want to follow the example of this 12-year-old boy that says, this is what I got. This is my life. I give it to you. Can I tell you something? There'll be a day we all stand before God and see him face to face. On that day, you'll never regret anything you said, God, it's all yours. There'll be some that'll go, man, I wish I would have not held on so tightly to what God gave me. I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about your life, your gifts, your ability, your family. Don't miss this incredible adventure of following Jesus. You know, it's a tough time. We need to pray for some people today. We need to pray for the Abshires and the Carells. We need to pray for them. There's some people that are sick. We need to pray for them. Maybe you need prayer today. We're going to have people around the room. If you're on our prayer team, I want you to go around the room and just do that right now. I want you to go and be, there's people available just to pray with you. Men and women that would just pray with you. I want you to know we all are in moments and times in life where we just need people to pray for us. So, look, people will pray for you. There's some on the back, on the side, on the front. But let's go to the Lord today. But I pray that you hear that 12-year-old boy push us to say, give all you got to him. You'll never regret it. Father, move us today. Lead us today. Move us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.